After weeks of nail-biting over the impact of rising costs due to tariffs on imported steel and aluminum and resulting penalties on its motorcycle exports, Harley-Davidson investors are breathing a big sigh of relief. The iconic American motorcycle maker Tuesday not only beat earnings forecasts, but also predicts it will suffer less than earlier thought from the tariff war set off by President Trump. But Harley-Davidson still has to find a way to fix a downslide in sales in the U.S. Traditional customers are getting older, younger drivers aren't hopping on board, and it's getting squeezed by rivals offering deeper discounts.
Verizon gained more customers with unlimited data plans in the latest quarter, handily beating Wall Street's expectations. The telecom carrier added 398,000 subscribers to pay their bill at the end of each month. Wells Fargo senior analyst Jennifer Fritzsche said, Verizon appears to also be benefiting from customers stepping up to higher-priced wireless plans and increasing average connections per account. Its quarterly revenue grew and profits slid, but both beat analysts' forecasts.
Coffee at your doorstep at half the price of Starbucks. That's the pitch for Chinese coffee startup Luckin, and it's become an aggressive new threat in Starbucks' number two market. Luckin only fully launched in January, but it's already opened 660 outlets across the country. That took Starbucks over a decade to do in China. Luckin's also been poaching baristas at rival brands and flaunting steep discounts on drinks. Investors see a big opportunity. In its latest funding round this month, Luckin was valued at $1 billion. Meanwhile, Starbucks has seen troubling signs this year in China. It's seen sales growth hit zero or below, and shares took a beating.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being here with us today. It's another business day getting underway, another edition of The Opening Bell. And we've got lots to cover this morning. Yesterday, the USDA announcing a $12 billion package of assistance to the ag community, to farmers, to help cover some of the losses from the tariffs that have been put in place that have caused prices of corn and soybeans to fall. We will talk to the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation coming up here shortly, our first guest out of the block. And then a little bit later in the program, we will have a conversation about how to think maybe outside the box when it comes to tariffs and to some of the other roadblocks in the way of manufacturing. We'll start that conversation at about 5:40 this morning. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a flat open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up about 3 points. S&P futures are up about a point. And NASDAQ futures are up just about 6 points. Around the globe this morning, markets in Europe are generally lower. The FTSE in London off more than a half a percent. In Germany, the markets are off by about a quarter. And in France, numbers are flat. And in Asia, markets are generally higher, with the Nikkei up about a half a percent and the Hang Seng up almost a full percent this morning, the Shanghai down almost 2%. And oil is trading at $68.61 a barrel, and that is up about 9 cents. Again, big story of the morning is the Trump administration, the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, announcing a $12 billion package of aid to farmers to help offset some of the problems caused by tariffs, including corn and soybean prices and wheat prices that have fallen. We want to bring in our first guest right off the bat this morning, Zippy Duvall. He's the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. Mr. Duvall, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
I want to, right out of the gate here, get the American Farm Bureau's reaction to what we saw proposed yesterday or unveiled yesterday.
Well, we're very much appreciative to this administration and the hard work that Secretary Perdue and his staff has done to put together a package that will give us some temporary relief and extend that runway out longer so that the president can continue to work on his trade issues with other countries.
I know you used the word temporary there. There are a lot of folks on Capitol Hill, especially, and in farm country that are saying this will definitely be temporary, that the problem needs to be solved. How much runway do farmers have? And when you say temporary, how long will this go?
Well, Well, you know, a financial situation is vary from farm to farm, but this temporary package of $12 billion is a very, very large package. But of course, it will not last long because the deep cuts that we've taken, our commodity prices, the things that have happened in the markets since this trade war started, are trending very deep in our financial statements, and hopefully it will get us through this season. Some commodities will still suffer, but if we can get through this season, be able to get in front of our bankers and plant a crop next year, it should extend it out. But this is a temporary fix and gives the president some more time.
I was a little bit startled by some of the Republican reaction to this on Capitol Hill yesterday. One of the farm state senators, Ben Sasse, said that his statement was, this trade war is cutting the legs out from under farmers, and this plan from the White House is to spend $12 billion on gold crutches. That seems like a pretty strong statement.
Well, it is a strong statement, but what we're trying to do, and I think what he's trying to do, is to make sure everybody understands that this is temporary. There are long-term effects to trade wars. You know, we've spent years and years and years, and we've spent billions of dollars producers' money through checkoff and government money building these markets overseas. And in a trade war, we lose these markets, and people go and buy their products other places. And if they go there and buy them and they're satisfied with what they're purchasing, then you may not get that market back. So there is a long-term effect to this trade war that we're very scared what might do to our markets.
Yeah, I heard one ag economist yesterday talking about this, sort of exactly what you're saying there, and that is that not only have you built up these markets, but you've built up trust among these markets, the people in these markets, the countries that are operating these things, and he was afraid that this is going to perhaps ruin that trust. Are you fearful of the same thing?
Yeah, you know, that's part of it. But, you know, in the past, America, with this infrastructure, has been the only country in the world that could deliver products on time and be very dependable in getting that product delivered. And the world has come a long way in building their infrastructure, and now there's other countries that can compete with us on production and be able to deliver it on time and have the quality, too. So if you lose that market, it very much puts us in jeopardy. You know, the other thing that we need to think about, too, is, you know, when you go into a war, you want to have your army built up and have it strong. We started into this trade war in agriculture with 50% of our income gone from 5 years ago. So we're going in a very weak state. And that's what I told the vice president several weeks ago, that, you know, if we were still had $7-$8 corn, the runway would be longer. But we're starting this war at a very low rate of, you know, in the threes with corn and looking at a 7 and 8 for soybeans. And that makes us going into it very weak.
You had the year of the vice president. I know a lot of folks have also had the year of the president talking about him. What has been the more of the message to both of them? Obviously, Mike Pence from Indiana, so he's well aware of what the farm situation is like. Did they give you any sense of how long this was going to go on?
Well, I think it depends on which country you're talking about. There is a very positive feeling that the agreement with Mexico could be finished up in a relatively short period of time, and hopefully Canada will come along behind that in a reasonable period of time. But the obstacles in China seem to be a lot taller, and that runway looks like it would be longer. So, you know, my message to the vice president was, you know, our president called our farmers patriots. And we are patriots. We believe that this president wants to do the right thing, and we want to try to support him. But we got to make sure that we find solutions fast, because these trade markets are just crucially important to our farmers at the present time, and they're going to be more important in the future. We're already seeing our stocks grow, you know, with the price down to us, and then also with these tariffs on it. People not buying our products, we're seeing our stockpiles grow, and as they grow, it's going to deflate the prices even more.
Mr. Duvall, hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with more from the American Farm Bureau Federation President, Zippy Duvall, with us this morning, talking about the aid package announced yesterday for farmers. We'll talk to Mr. Duvall more about how this is impacting farmers, get more of the details about how this plan might be rolled out. Mr. Duvall, I'm kind of curious, have they... has the USDA told you how this is going to be implemented, how this money might be distributed?
Well, of course, we're waiting to get everything in writing so that we can study it. But on the call that we had with USDA yesterday, they described like something like a three-legged stool. One leg of it would make payments to farmers. And I'm sure all the economists at USDA are doing a good job of trying to figure out what effect the trade tariffs are having on price versus other variables that are causing the price to move. So there would be some payments made to farmers. And then also in two other areas, they would be buying up some commodities, mostly fruits, vegetables, specialty crops that's been affected by this. Nuts would probably be in that category. And then, of course, there'd be another leg of that stew that would be spend monies, commodity groups could use them and other groups could use them to try to build new markets in other places around the world to be able to move our products during this trade war.
My impression of what I've read about this so far is this seems to be a clause from a Depression era part of the Farm Bill, I think, is probably the best way to describe it to folks. So it hasn't been used a lot, usually used in times of extreme crisis. Is it concerning that we're using this now for this problem? What if something were to happen in a year or two?
Well, you know, I think you got to take one day at a time. We're in territory that we've probably never been in before, especially this serious. So, you know, to give the president time to continue to work on his plan to work out the differences he have with other countries in our trade issue and give us a level playing field, I think this is just buying him some time and extending that runway out. And we're very appreciative of the work that's been done. Of course, our farmers still stand on we want markets, not aid. But if it takes the president longer than what we can handle, then this is very gracious of the president and his administration to try to bind us over. And we're very proud that he is backing up his words. He said he would stand with the farmers as we go through this difficult time.
I understand some of the supplies that you mentioned there, some of the crops, milk, fruit, nuts, rice, some of that might actually will actually be distributed to food banks. So it's not like the products are going to go to waste in any way.
Exactly. You know, CCC has bought up commodities over the years. The secretary has the authority to do that. And food banks and, you know, there's institutions that give food away to needed people all across America even today. So those programs will just be – it won't be the same program, but it will mirror those programs and be worked through food banks. So there will be a lot of people in this country that need assistance as far as nourishment that will benefit from this too.
You said that the farmers would rather have the markets and not the bailout. What would you say to folks who are not in agriculture this morning who are looking at this and saying, oh, well, here is another bailout that we really probably didn't need based on this trade war that just sort of came from nowhere? What would your reaction to those folks be?
Well, the words didn't need is not correct. I mean, we're an industry that you just can't crank up a farm and start working. It takes years to build a farm and buy the land, accumulate the equipment and the knowledge of how to go out and grow a crop or handle animals and be able to make a profit at it. And if you put them under enough stress that these family farmers have been there for generations lose out, you know, those lands would end up being sold off either for development or to larger corporations or even other countries to come in and produce food on our land. So the general public, they like family farms and they want the families to stay on the farm. And this is just one way of binding us over through this difficult time, because this trade war is not just about agriculture. It's about all Americans, trying to help all Americans, all industries create jobs, make our economy continue to grow. And our economy is growing, but agriculture is the one sector that is suffering more than any of the others. And I think this is the right thing to do to tie us over. The only other solution is to fix our problems with trade, open up the markets, tear down the barriers in other countries where we move our commodities out. And then that would create a booming rural economy where people want to live, create more jobs, and would help all of America.
Mr. Duvall, we appreciate you being with us this morning, and all the best to you and your farmers.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and tell our farmers to continue to stay engaged, because our message is we need to fix our problems and have these markets overseas so that we can depend on markets and not other areas.
Zippy Duvall, the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, with us this morning. Just a couple of more notes about this story. We were referring to the Commodity Credit Corporation, which is a part of the Farm Bill, a part of the ag law that dates back to the Depression era. And although members of Congress have been complaining about the $12 billion in aid, they will have no say in this. This can all be done at the U.S. Agriculture Secretary's authority, so Congress won't have a say in this. We also want to add a reaction from the Illinois Farm Bureau to this. The Illinois Farm Bureau putting out a statement yesterday saying, while we are grateful for the support from the administration, we must stress that this aid package will not make farmers whole in the face of continued trade tensions. The economic and marketing damage caused by these tariffs will continue as long as they're in effect, and likely for longer. Just part of the statement from Richard Giebert, who is the president of the Illinois Farm Bureau.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio. A rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. General Motors is launching a peer-to-peer car sharing service in Chicago, Detroit, and Ann Arbor. The program will allow GM owners to rent out their personal GM vehicles that are on model 2015 or newer. The service is part of GM's Maven car sharing platform. Groupon is one of the most positively reviewed apps in the history of the Apple App Store, according to a new study. An app analytics firm found that Chicago-based Groupon was the sixth highest reviewed app over the last 10 years, earning 4.8 stars from users. And Yelp is launching hygiene scores for restaurants in Chicago, New York, California, Texas, and Washington, D.C. Yelp says its plan is to make inspection information more accessible to diners so they can avoid unsanitary eateries. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. Talking about trade and tariffs today, President Trump says he'll propose to European officials when they arrive here to have a meeting to drop all tariffs, barriers, and subsidies. He is tweeting that he doubts the Europeans will go for that idea. The president meeting today with the European Commission president, the U.S. and European allies at odds over the president's tariffs on steel imports, and are meeting as the trade dispute threatens to spread to automobile production. We're joined this morning by Ray Zaganto, the founder and CEO of Lanera International. Ray is one of the leading consultants in the tech manufacturing industries. And actually says the trade war could be seen as an opportunity for some manufacturers. Ray, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
This is a positive way to look at it, where there is lemons make lemonade, is I guess what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah, really no choice, right?
Yeah, right. So what are the opportunities that might be here for folks that are being hit by these tariffs?
Well, the number one thing is that, you know, by definition and perhaps by genetics, the manufacturing sector in specific hates change. They hate uncertainty, and it's just something that is not what they want to be dealing with right now. So the reality is the companies that have been historically good at coping in dynamic environments actually are still finding opportunities right now. The real issue is you have to now more than ever engage with the market, and that means engage with your clients, engage with your technology providers, more specifically, engage with your peers. There are a lot of answers and options out there for companies that perhaps they don't think exist. Manufacturers aren't coping with this alone. There are a lot of resources and a lot of opportunities available.
I know that some folks say that this is what President Trump telegraphed all the way through the campaign, that some folks should have known this was coming and may have been caught a little off guard. Do you think that in the manufacturing sector that's the case?
No question. It's particularly in supporting industry, in the Chicago area, the companies that are supplying to the larger OEMs, the big companies, the General Motors, the Fords, the Tier 2s, they have been taking steps along the way. This has been telegraphed since, gosh, I think probably April of 2017. It's been reflected in commodity prices, in steel. The market has been tightening for months. Prices have been changing. So it's definitely been on the horizon, but it's not too late to be able to deal with what's going on.
I'm curious, too, about some of the specifics here. I know you've written on LinkedIn and on your social media accounts. You just got back from China, so you've been on the ground seeing what's going on firsthand. What are the feelings, especially in China, for all of what's happening here with this tariff or trade war, if you will?
You know, one of the first things you notice, anybody that travels internationally, as soon as you get off the plane, whether it's in Asia or Europe, and you turn on the news, what you find out internationally is that the news is basically world news and a little bit about the U.S. It's the complete opposite here. So the perspective and what I see specifically in China is, while they're a little bit confused, not confused, concerned about the moves with regard to tariffs, it doesn't occupy all of their time, all of their news media. They're very much focused on continuing to grow the economy. What I did see in a lot of the newspapers and the television coverage there was about efforts to expand trade from China to other regions of the world. The manufacturing community specifically that I was engaged with viewed this more as a speed bump, not as a long-term threat to their business or their trade objectives.
In the first segment of our show today, we talked to the American Farm Bureau president and talked to him specifically about how for agriculture at least, this tariff dispute is potentially hurting the trust that we've built up with some of these other countries. Is that going to be the case, too, in manufacturing and some of these other sectors? Are we playing a game that might impact our long-term trust with these countries?
There's no question that we're getting some side eye from our international partners. The people on the ground, I continue to be nothing but courteous and helpful and wanting to engage. These are the companies I typically deal with. They get that manufacturing has been part of the global economy for a long, long time, and there's no way you're going to unwind that. Are there some near-term concerns and perhaps some trust issues? Yes, has that, from what I've seen on my recent travels, changed, fundamentally the way the companies I've worked with in China choose to or wish to engage with the U.S. or other countries? No, it hasn't. It's just another, it's a variable that needs to be navigated, and that's how it's being dealt with.
You know, I think it's interesting, Ray, you said earlier that there's different resources available out there, different ways to think about this and look at it, but, companies have not always been open about discussing their business. How do you get a company to get out of that thinking to say, okay, let's collaborate here, let's talk about our plans, let's think of ideas with other folks? How do you change that thinking of among companies, especially among manufacturing companies?
And you bring up a key point there. I've been in this industry over 30-some years, and I'm passionate about manufacturing and innovation. And what I've seen, even from years ago till now, there are companies in the manufacturing space that embrace kind of that open source, a little more open innovation type approach to collaboration. And it's the best thing for manufacturers to do is seek out those companies in their space. Go find those peers. And what they're going to discover is that those companies and the leaders of those companies are going to be very willing and open to have a conversation with them. The most successful companies throughout my career have been those that have been willing to reach out and have a conversation with their peers, with the technology vendors, and they're not afraid to go out and go learn for themselves. You know, innovation doesn't stop within the four walls of your respective organization. Get out, engage the world, and you're going to find there are some remarkable opportunities and things you can implement right now that'll have a difference in your business.
We've been talking a lot here about this trade and tariff dispute, and while it may be negative and seem negative to folks, we have to remind people the economy is firing right now on all cylinders. With all of your experience, what is your gauge of the economy right now, and the gauge of things, and where it might be headed?
I think the reality is better than the news. I'm particularly bullish in the manufacturing space. What we need to do is collectively, and for those that might be struggling, is get out of our heads and as you see, engage with the marketplace. It really never has been better. The connectivity, the access to global markets. The biggest thing I see in my travels is, you know, particularly for U.S. manufacturers, don't look at it as though the whole world is coming for your customers. The reality is the whole world is open to you. What are you doing to help grow the pie that's available to you? And go get it, because it's never been easier than it is right now to be a global player. And I know of companies in the U.S. I visited them personally. I know they are globally competitive. I know of companies like that in Europe. It can be done. Don't think that it's an impossible task. There's really never been a better time in terms of economic opportunity, technological opportunity. If there's a time to go for it, this is it.
Ray, we'll leave it there with that positive, optimistic outlook. We appreciate you being here with us on the Opening Bell this morning.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
Ray Zagato, founder and CEO of Lanera International.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, stock futures are holding, appears to be holding in a pattern, waiting for this meeting today between the president and the European Union leader over trade. Dow futures are down 6 points. NASDAQ futures are up 3 points. S&P futures are down 3 points. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. A lot of activity in agricultural markets yesterday because of the White House announcement, and that was made by the Department of Agriculture, by USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue. He said the U.S. Agriculture Department will provide $12 billion in support to farmers and ranchers hurt by tariffs imposed on U.S. products. The program, which include direct payments to farmers, trade promotion, and food purchases, are already authorized under the Commodity Credit Corporation Act and do not need congressional approval. Perdue said the programs were a short-term solution to give President Trump time to negotiate trade deals. The president of the National Corn Growers Association said NCGA appreciates the administration's recognition of the harm to producers caused by tariffs and trade uncertainty. The fine print will be important. We know the package won't make farmers whole, but look forward to working with USDA on the details and implementation of this plan. And the president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, Rich Giebert, said, "We appreciate the administration's recognition of the damage these retaliatory tariffs have caused for Illinois farmers and farmers across the nation. However, while we are grateful for the support from the administration, we must stress that this aid package will not make farmers whole in the face of continued trade tensions." soybeans at the Board of Trade jumped on the news, and cash price uncertainty weakened live cattle futures. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook, the Census Bureau will release new home sales report today for June. A report on U.S. crude inventories also coming out. The EIA Petroleum Status Report. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports on mortgage applications. And it's a big day for earnings as well, including a couple of Chicago area companies, Chicago-based Boeing, Boston Scientific, Coca-Cola, General Motors, Grubhub, Hilton, IMAX, NASDAQ, Sirius XM Radio, Six Flags, T. Rowe Price, Tupperware, and UPS release earnings before the opening bell this morning. Dolby Labs, Equifax, Ethan Allen, Ford Motor, Mattel, Mondelez International, O'Reilly Auto, PayPal, Qualcomm, Visa after the close on Wall Street. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday. It's July 25th.